All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Guiding Light. This, of course, is what I'm sharing from Bernadette Roberts. And right now I have What is the Self, which is the book I seem to share from each week right now. Doesn't mean I always will. And today, today I'm a little tired. I just got home from La Vida, so I'm a little tired. But often when I'm a little tired, teaching picks me up. So let's see what happens. So today I'm beginning on page 20, the second paragraph. And we actually stopped in the middle of the paragraph last week. But what I will do is begin at the top of this second paragraph and read forward from there. Many people see this change or upheaval. Oh, maybe I need to go back. Let me just start. I'll just read from the top of the page, but I'm not going to discuss everything we discussed last week. I'll just bring us back to starting at the top of the page. The divine's breaking through the center of consciousness shatters the ego like a hole made in the center of ourselves. Remember, you might remember last week I punched through that that Kleenex. So there was a big hole in the Kleenex, remember? The divine's breaking through the center of consciousness shatters the ego like a hole made in the center of ourselves. To get some idea of this breakthrough, we might again compare the psyche or consciousness to a circular piece of paper or a Kleenex where the original center was the ego, except for a little pinhole, which was the divine. With this sudden breakthrough, we now have an empty hole in the center of ourselves, or in the center of the circular paper she uses as an example, or in the center of the Kleenex that I used as an example. Instead of the ego or self center, we now have a divine center, an empty hole. The empty center is two things at once. It is the absence of self and the presence of the divine. And those words are really important. It's not that the self becomes divine or divine-like. It's that the absence of self is the presence of the divine. There is no self center anymore. There is only a divine center. We might visualize this arrangement as a donut. Consciousness or self is the bread that experiences an empty center in itself. From here on, consciousness or self will be egoless. Obviously, there has been a radical change of consciousness. There has been an upheaval to which we have no choice but to acclimate. Many people see this change or upheaval as a process of transformation. But I see it as a process of acclimating to a divine center. Consciousness has not been changed into anything. Rather, a chunk of consciousness or self has permanently fallen away. And again, that's really important. I think she's going to probably talk more about that. This will probably be our main point tonight. It's not that the self becomes divine or becomes more divine-like. It's that, in this case, a chunk of the self, a piece of the self, has been obliterated. And where the self was, there is now only the experience of the divine. So, you know, A Course in Miracles and some others' teachings often use the example of the veil of illusion, right, that covers the truth. It's like there's a hole in the veil. It's not that the veil becomes divine. It's that there's a hole in the veil. And so the divine is there in the place of that hole, where the ego or the illusion once was. The divine, oh yeah, this is what I told you I thought would be our main point today. Here she says it very clearly. The divine increases as self decreases or falls away. So this is the only way to realize truth, folks. is to let the self fall away. And I think it's wonderful to embrace every opportunity to let the self fall away. You know, that's one of the advantages of my relationship with Laurent, is because he and I were so different in just about every way. And I could do one of two things. I could fight for my way, or I could let go of my way. And when I let go of my way, I was letting the self fall away. Right? I think it's wonderful to look for opportunities to stop being me. To stop trying to get my way. To stop trying to get the world to be the way I think it is. You know, just to look for the, you know me, I'm a big game player. So play the game of where are the opportunities to let go of another chunk or another piece or another slice of me. Let that be the game. Listen to this sentence. The divine increases as self decreases or falls away. So obviously, the opposite is true, is that to the degree that we cling to self, we are avoiding the divine. You know, you can't have it both ways. This is why you have to decide what you really want. I remember in Gentle Healing last Tuesday night, one of the things we were talking about, I don't remember the entire conversation. Maybe some of y'all remember it better than me. But I remember myself going, the theater of me. I remember talking about how the reason we continue to pay attention to thought, the reason we continue to get lost in thought is because we love me. We love the theater of me. We love the story of me. We love my thoughts. We love my opinions. We love my point of view, right? We love me. You know, we can't love me and love the divine too. We can't have me and have the divine too. We can't be me and be the divine too. This isn't the me transforming to a better me. This is the me ending. You know, some people use the word die. Some people use the word disappear. She's using the word decrease or fall away. They all mean the same thing. They mean a great big giant hole where me used to be. The divine increases as self decreases or falls away. here's the next sentence. This is the way it works. I think I just said that, but I guess she wants to make sure you heard me. The divine increases as self decreases or falls away. This is the way it works. Self or consciousness is never transformed into the divine. It never becomes divine. If we knew the true nature of consciousness, we would know this was impossible. The major problem with the notion of transformation is that it forever hangs onto some form of self and never lets it go. It perpetuates the notion that self gets better and better, more and more divine, when in truth, the divine increases in proportion as the self decreases or falls away. The notion of a, oh my goodness, how do you say this word? I mean, and it's just the divine, oh my goodness. I don't think this will come out of my brain. The notion of a, I'm just going to say a divine self. I'll spell it. Let me type it in here for you guys. It's not that hard of a word. It's just I can't get my brain to figure out quite how to say it or my mouth to say it. Let's see. It's D-I-V-I-N-I-Z-E-D. Like, how would you say that? Yeah, okay, well, good. It's not just me. Everybody else is kind of throwing up their hands, too.
Divinized.
I'll say that again.
Divinized.
Divinized. Okay. Okay, the notion of a divinized self only increases or inflates the self. Oh, my goodness. Haven't you guys seen this somewhere, sometime before? Yeah, this is a great example of what I, or a great description of what I have been known to call the spiritual ego. The notion of a divinized, is that what we said? Divinized self? I'm just going to say the notion of a divine self, the notion that I have become divine, right? Only increases or inflates the self. You know, this is what NTI talks about in NTI Revolution. At Revolution. Oh my God, I told you guys I was tired. I am. I feel like I could go to bed at 6 o'clock tonight. So this teaching is a miracle because you're hearing it from a mind practically asleep. NTI Revelation, not Revolution. NTI Revelation talks about the Lord of Lords, or the fake true desire. And it says, or what I often call false enlightenment, where you think you are awake, but actually all it is this divinized self. And one of the ways that one of the things NTI asks you to look for to make sure that you don't fall for this trick is self-satisfaction. You see, if I think I'm a divinized self, a divine self, I'm going to be very self-satisfied in that. So self-satisfaction is a sign that really that's just the ego. So she says the notion of a divinized self only increases or inflates the self. For those who buy into this notion, notice she calls it a notion, right? For those who buy into this notion, the journey may well end in total disillusionment. And I think that total disillusionment may be for the one who believes it. But I think also a lot of people who buy into these people who think that they're divine when really it's just still the ego. I think a lot of these people get very disillusioned too, because obviously if you have any discernment at all, when you get near these people, you can tell that it's ego, right? And so it would be you would be very disillusioned to be near someone with this divinized self. She says, okay, now this part, I just want to say, are you guys ready? Because Bernadette Roberts is a wild ride. And this is where the ride starts to get wild. So are you ready? Okay. Offhand, we would imagine that a permanent breakthrough of the divine into the unconscious would be a wonderful, blissful experience. But in fact, it is a terrible experience. To unhinge self-will and everything to which it is attached is a shattering experience. And the truth is, some teachers don't talk about this at all, and some teachers do. I think that teachers don't like to emphasize this because they don't want people to be afraid to move forward. You know, we listened several times in Gentle Healing 1 and Gentle Healing 2 to Dr. David Hawkins talk about his awakening. And he did not talk about that experience of awakening as a beautiful, wonderful experience. When the divine busted through and blew a hole into the self, he described it as terror. Do you remember that? Yeah. I would imagine, and I am imagining because I don't know this from my own experience, I would imagine any part of us that is still clinging to the self is really going to suffer in that experience of losing the self. I think this is why some teachers call it a death, right? Maybe if there was some way to be completely unattached to the self, it could just slip away. But I'm guessing that for most of us, there are still some attachments. And so therefore, this experience of losing the one we love. All right, that's really what's happening. It's the experience of losing the one we love, right? It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a difficult experience. Offhand, we would imagine that a permanent breakthrough of the divine into the unconscious would be a wonderful, blissful experience. But in fact, it is a terrible experience. To unhinge self-will and everything to which it is attached is a shattering experience. What is more, this self-will, energy center, or feeling self had been our primary sense of being in this world up to this point in the journey. Thus, the whole of consciousness or self is affected and not just the center. All right. So what she's saying is, if you imagine again the Kleenex that I had last week, I don't have it this week. I could probably use it. I'm even crying from choking. But I don't have any Kleenex nearby. So if you just imagine the Kleenex from last week, and remember, I kind of punched a hole right through the middle. But remember, when I punched the hole through the middle, there was still some Kleenex surrounding it. She's saying that the Kleenex surrounding it kind of experiences the loss of that center. I'll read the sentence again. Thus, the whole of consciousness or self is affected, and not just the center. But most important, with the shattering or falling away of the self-center, the ego's experiences of the divine go with it. And we've heard her talk about this before. You know, she's talked about the way we experience the divine prior to the falling away of the ego was through the ego. And so when the ego falls away, then those types of experiences fall away too. And in fact, one of the things she really is going to go into in great detail here, and I'll go ahead and read some of it, but she goes into great detail about how difficult it is to lose that experience of the divine. And when I read this, I wonder if that's absolutely true for everyone. I don't know. But you got to remember, she was a contemplative. You know, she was a nun for a while. She was very deep into the devotion. And so the devotion was probably her most beloved part of the ego experience, right? And so when the ego went away and that devotion also went away, that may have been very difficult for her. In other words, that may have been her attachment, right? The attachment to the feeling of devotion. And so that might be what she loved about the ego experience the most, that was lost. Lost when the ego was lost, right? The reason I say I'm not sure that this is true for everyone is because she's the only teacher that I've heard talk about it this way in such length and in such depth. But we'll go ahead and listen to what she says. With the shattering or falling away of the self center, the ego's experiences of the divine go with it. The ego can no longer experience the divine because there is no ego anymore to experience the divine. The whole ground has been pulled out from under self. It can no longer turn on itself or have its own way on its own ground or terms, that is. From here on, self has a new ground or center of being to which it must now acclimate or adjust. Okay, this sentence, she doesn't spend a lot of time on here, but this sounds familiar to me. She says, the whole ground has been pulled out from under self. It can no longer turn on itself or have its own way on its own ground or terms. I've heard other people talk about suffering from ego death in this way. It feels like a loss of motivation for them. Because up until this point, everything they've done, even the spiritual path, was because of self-will. Maybe the way they were with their family, right? The way they loved the children, the way they loved their spouse, the way they loved their parents, was actually motivated by self-will. What kept them engaged in their job and enjoying their work actually came from self-will. So imagine for a moment that the love of your children, the love of your spouse, the love of your parents, the love of your job, the love of your pastimes, whatever your pastimes are, is actually driven by self-will. And then self-will dies. Self-will is taken away. Just like she seems to suffer over having lost that devotional feeling to the divine, it's possible that you may suffer for a time for having lost the love of your children, or lost the love of your work, or lost the love of your spouse or your parents or your pastimes. Right? And that again is because the love itself was actually self-will. Right? And now the self-will is completely gone. So what happens, you know, is in some way when this ego center, which has been the center of your experience in the world, both the positive and the negative, is taken away, it's a completely disorienting experience. And many people, I have heard many people express negative statements regarding their experience immediately following the loss of ego. And again, that's because the way they have always related, the way they have always experienced, is now gone. And they've not yet acclimated to the new way. It reminds me when I used to be a corporate trainer, one of the classes I used to teach was change management. And I remember we were going through a merger. And when you're going through a merger, anybody who works in the corporate world knows that's when you lose a lot of good employees, right? People get scared about what it's going to be like under the new management. Things are changing, and people jump ship. So change management, the reason that we taught this course was to try and prevent people from jumping ship. We wanted them to stay. And I remember in that class, I would talk about monkey bars, and I would talk about You know, it's like the company prior to the merger was this monkey bar, and the company after the merger is this monkey bar. But these monkey bars are far enough apart, you can't actually hold on to this one and grab onto this one at the same time, right? In order to grab onto this one, you have to let go of this one. And so there's this point in the middle where you feel completely disoriented. You're not sure of anything. You've lost what you knew, but you've not yet, you don't even yet know what's new, right? You've lost what you knew, K-N-E-W, but you don't yet know what's new, N-E-W. I really think it's the same thing, right? What you knew was the ego, and it's gone suddenly. What is new is this whole or the divine, this where the self used to be, but you don't yet really know it yet. You haven't acclimated there yet. So there's this transition period between the old and the new, which can be very difficult. And I just want to say that Bernadette Roberts tells us, the reason she tells us this is because if we know and if we understand when we go through it, it doesn't have to be as difficult for us. She says it was difficult for her because nobody told her what to expect. She didn't know what was going on. So she suddenly just lost her devotion, her love for the divine, her experience of the divine that had been the center of her life since age 2, right? And nobody had prepared her for that or told her that it was coming. So, you know, imagine that you know, what's the thing that you love the most as an ego, right? In this world, you know, your child, hiking, nature, your love of God, your spouse. And just contemplate for a moment that the way you relate to that is through the ego. And so when the ego is gone, that way of relating, that way of loving that is also gone. Right? That's what she's talking about. And that leaves us out of time. So I'll just have to stop there and we'll come back and we'll look at what she has to say next week. So thanks you guys for contemplating this. I can actually see your eyes contemplating it, and I love that. So thank you so much. Releasing the mic.